Contemporary Music Centre Monthly Podcast for June 2007, Part 3. Composer of the Month, Linda Buckley.
Yeah, I suppose if I was to make a generalisation about the pieces of yours that I know, many of them seem to be very multi-layered, and they seem to have very many different sorts of musical material in them. So sometimes they'll be quite melodic, you'll have quite a beautiful little turn of phrase in the melody. Other times the same piece might also deal with things like steady state textures, or even sort of noise textures, or various kinds of filtered noise and things. Is that the way you think about music, as being all these sort of like a world that contains all these different elements?
I think in a way a lot of my pieces seem to be concerned with the tension of opposites. Often they will move between points of chaos to points of stasis, and I'm sort of exploring the journey in between those two points. And that feels quite natural for me. And, you know, often in my pieces you'll get very, very dense, rich textures, and then very sort of sparse, austere textures. And these are, I'm interested in exploring these opposites in a way.
Because the two most recent pieces of yours I've heard, the Crash Ensemble piece, Stratus, and then Stop What Started, those both seem like they're dealing with very big musical territory, let's say. I mean, does there ever come a point in working on a piece where you get a bit lost in all this amazing sort of sound world that you create and can't quite find your way to the end, or does that never really happen?
Well, I think it's interesting. I mean, Kevin Boland's came to give us a talk recently in Trinity, and he talked about this notion of, you know, it's dangerous to fall in love with your material. And I think sometimes there is that idea, you know, danger when you're working with electronic material, that you can become so immersed in the sound world that you almost get lost in the middle of it all. So it's a question of taking a step back and getting a sense of perspective, really, and looking at the overall structure and how the shape is going to come about, because I think there is that danger of becoming lost.
And then what other kind of projects do you see coming up in the future? Have you got any other musical ambitions that you haven't yet realised that you want to get started on?
Well, future projects in the next few months will be one of them. The first one really is that I'm performing with an improvisation group in Berlin and Venice as part of a festival called NWEMO, the New West Electroacoustic Music Organisation. And I think that will be very interesting. It's with some Berlin-based musicians. So there'll be circuit bending, and I'll be performing flute and live electronics. Then I'm going to be working on a project which will eventually go to Jordan, and I'll be doing a residency and installation in Jordan in August. So that will be a sort of a interdisciplinary project with visual artists as well. So I'm very excited about that. And also I'm going to be working on a multi-channel tape piece for a concert in June with the Spatial Music Collective. This is a group that has been set up with mainly Trinity-based composers or former Trinity students, which is it's concerned with performing music that is spatial. So whether that be spatial electronics or spatialization of live performance as well, which is it's a very interesting idea. And also I'm going to be working on a piece for Natasha Lowen for voice and electronics as well. So there's a lot of interesting projects coming up.
Great. Now, Linda, you've been teaching recently at Trinity College in Dublin. A lot of composers end up doing some sort of teaching, obviously partly out of necessity and partly because they want to. How do you feel that has affected your sort of working rhythms as a composer, if it has? I mean, do you find there's a tension between having spent time teaching and wanting to be free to compose, or how do you feel about that?
I think that the balance is very important for me, actually, and I need that balance. I don't think I could lock myself away for years on end and just compose these great symphonies and never see anybody outside of my house. I think it's very important to have that sort of social interaction and feedback, and I find it very inspiring, actually, to teach, and I learn even so much from my students. And it's always so exciting for me if I'm introducing a piece of music to students for the first time that I'm, you know, very excited about, and then I see that their enthusiasm as well, and it feeds back into my own work. So I think it's of vital importance for me. I think you need to have that balance. Well, mm-hmm. I certainly do.
And do you feel the same way about performing? Because, I mean, that's something that obviously you possibly are going to be doing more and more of as the time goes on. Is that something you feel is beneficial for a composer to actually be out there as a performer?
I think so, definitely, to have that connection. And I feel for me that the aspect, particularly with improv, you know, the live spontaneity of it is very important for me. And it's kind of, it's like spontaneous composition, really, which is very different to sitting at home, you know, in front of your computer or a piece of paper. And it definitely feeds back into my own work as well. And performing with other musicians as well, and just having that level of social interactivity is really important.
Mm. Is there, if somebody was to come to you tomorrow with a blank checkbook and would commission you to write any piece you wanted to do for of any sort, what would it be?
I would love to write again for Javanese Gamelan, actually. I worked on a piece with them when I was in my undergrad degree. And I always wanted to return because I'm so fascinated by that song world. So I think that would be, if I could have a full Javanese gamelan ensemble to work with.
What is it about that in particular that fascinates you about the gamelan?
Such a beautiful song world, and so it's so deceptively simple in a way. When you listen to the music, it's so hypnotic, but it's so multi-layered, and there's so many complex resulting patterns that are going on within the music. And you know, I still perform at the Javanese Gamelan, and it's just been a huge influence in my life, and I've always wanted to return to it in Langford again.
Great, thank you very much.